From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Monday, May 25th. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. Since yesterday, nationwide, just 4 new cases of coronavirus have been confirmed. I'm joined now by Senior Economics Correspondent Shane Wright. Welcome back to Please Explain, Shane.
Lovely to be back, Tori.
Did the federal government just find $60 billion down the back of the couch?
Well, it's more like someone else's caps that they didn't go having to sell off for $60 billion rather than finding all this extra cash. Like, this is money that they just won't have to borrow. So it's a saving somewhere off into the future rather than Josh Frydenberg walking around with a pocket full of silver and brass coins now.
Okay. So having made the philosophical leap to spend $130 billion on the JobKeeper program, now that they've found out that the program is only going to cost them $70 billion, what's the government's thinking about whether they just take that saving and try and have a lower budget deficit or whether they spend it on something else?
Philosophically, there's the really strong feeling, let's not spend it. And much of it actually depends on the state of the economy. So we get to September when JobKeeper and the increase in JobSeeker are due to run out. That's where there's a lot of concern about how the economy will perform right then. So the argument at the moment is, right, we won't spend, but we will be able to look perhaps at certain areas, and the tourism area stands out the most likely as areas that might need more support. We'll know a little bit more once the Treasury does its review of JobKeeper, which is due to get finished by the end of next month. That will give us an idea of where their thinking is in terms of whether any more tweaks are needed. But the general cash much more hinges on how the economy is travelling in September.
As embarrassing as this stuff up is, it's good news, isn't it, that far fewer Australians needed to be on JobKeeper than we thought?
Ultimately, it is, but we're assuming that everything else is right in terms of how everything else is being measured, because we've written at length about the problems that some businesses have had applying because of the structure of it, which is businesses effectively having to borrow a large amount for payroll, pay that, and then get reimbursed. For instance, partnerships were effectively barred from using this as well, and we know that there are a lot of partnerships out there running businesses. But in more general terms, you'd think, no, the economy is doing better than when this forecast was put together. And that was at the depths of the situation back in mid to late March, when everyone was shutting down key parts of the economy and there were really worrying forecasts from the medical community about just how many people are going to be sick. So it never got as bad as was feared. So that gives you some sort of benefit when things turn out a bit better.
Okay, so Shane, can you just step us through the process? Because there seems to have been two stuff-ups here. The Treasury forecasting of how many Australians would need to go on to the program said that it would be about 6 million. And then they launched the program and they had this situation where some businesses accidentally put in a dollar figure on what they were claiming, where they were supposed to put in just the number of workers. And that magically added up to 6 million Australians. So how did that work? How did that happen?
That's right. And so this goes to that earlier point. The Treasury was doing all its modelling when it was expected that the economy would go through effectively a European-style shutdown. And the worst elements of the number of people falling ill with coronavirus or COVID-19, that was when its modelling was done. So you can understand, if that's your modelling, if you're doing it right then you're going to have a worst-case scenario. The weird thing is that 2-3 weeks later, as the tax office is starting to survey the number of possible businesses that will enroll, that number roughly aligns with what the Treasury modelling had suggested.
So temporarily, the Treasury modelling looked genius.
Yeah, that's right. But that's where you get to this point where, right, 1,000 firms out of 900,000 make a mistake in terms of they get the number of employees mixed out with the payment, which is $1,500. The tax office hasn't quite explained how of that 1,000, 550 wrote in 1,500. That doesn't get you anywhere close to the ultimate shortfall, which is 3 million people and $60 billion. That hasn't been explained yet. The other issue which goes on is that no one in Treasury, tax, or the Treasurer's office has gone, right, we're into April, even into later April, where it's clear that the pandemic is not injuring or killing as many people, not putting as many people into hospitals as we'd expected. Some of those shutdowns were starting to be eased. No one has gone, right, we should remodel what we've come up with. Because if you had modelled, say, in late April, you would have come up with a different answer than what you've done in mid to late March. So ultimately, it would have been caught out because the Treasurer is due to give an update around the budget in the second or third week of June. It would have become obvious that there was a problem. But no one has actually done modelling or checked the modelling to say, right, things are a lot different to what we thought was going to happen. Perhaps we should recount the figures and see what's come up.
How did they work it out that they'd stuffed it up?
A couple of people in the tax office have just said, hold on, we're starting to send out all this money, but it's not nearly as much and it's not going to nearly as many as we'd thought. Hold on, let's check this. That's early last week and they're still working it through. And poor Stephen Kennedy, the Treasury Secretary, is giving evidence to a parliamentary hearing on Thursday morning where he repeats 6 to 6.5 million people. He doesn't find out until later in the day. And then he has to make the phone call to Josh Frydenberg saying, Minister, you're not going to believe this.
Are you sitting down?
Are you sitting down? And ultimately you get to the, oh my God, what the shock. But you get to this other point that perhaps it is good news. In fact, we're not having to borrow this money and not as many people are being required to be supported by JobKeeper.
Shane, has the Treasurer at any point during announcing all these programs predicted what impact it will have on the budget deficit?
There's no figures from them.
Yeah.
The government has not revealed it. We may see some of that in his June update, and he'll have to do some forecasting then. But remember, the budget's been pushed off to October. Now, we already know, because we get monthly figures, that the budget is tracking way behind where it's supposed to be. Like, remember, this was supposed to be the year. We're back in black. We have a $5 billion surplus. At the end of March, the deficit was $22 billion.
And that's because of a fall in tax receipts?
Tax receipts and a bit more spending. And tax receipts have been fairly weak anyway since the mid-year budget update in December. Remember, you had the summer bushfires, which was starting to have an effect. They had an effect as well. But we do know the agency that sells all the government's debt. In December, it was saying, right, we expect to sell $55 billion worth of debt this year. Last Friday, they've come out and said, right, we expect to sell $130 billion in Treasury bonds. Then they have some short-term debt, which is somewhere between another $15 and $25 billion, which they expect to sell in the next 6 weeks. So ultimately, the government agency that sells all the debt, which tells you something about the deficit, is going to sell ultimately this year $150 billion worth of debt. When it,
right,
in December, it was thinking, we'll sell 55. There's your problem. It's a fairly large financial shortfall.
And that $60 billion, would that have all been accounted in 1 year in the budget? Or would it actually just be the cost of borrowing the money would go into the budget?
It's over 2 years. So because we hit the new financial year July 1, so roughly half was this year, roughly half the next financial year. So this is partly why the private sector economists who are trying to predict the size of the budget deficit are saying this year's deficit will be smaller than next year's. One, because of this debt movement, because there are other programs going on, but also because there's going to be a lot of businesses that are going to report big losses, and those losses will actually end up falling into next financial year. So that will then mean less cash for Josh Frydenberg and Scott Morrison.
Well, I suppose I keep thinking, as horrifying as it is to make an error like this, imagine if it had been the other way and it turned out that the program was actually going to cost $200 billion or something.
Exactly right. More than just worrying about the debt, it would have told you that the economy was in much, much worse situation than we'd thought. That's an absolute positive out of this, and the government can take that away. But ultimately, it's just less bad. We're still spending $70 billion to support the wages of 3.5 million Australians. And all the discussion about what this means, the political side of it, as well as the economic side of it, too many people are saying to forget, oh, hold on, we are still borrowing $70 billion. We're still spending, there was $66 billion announced 2 weeks before this program, then the $17 billion before that, plus the alpha beta data that's coming out that's pointing to the number of Australians who are enjoying, I'll put that in inverted commas to our listeners, enjoying a reduction in their mortgage repayments or having mortgages deferred and all that changes come September.
Mm.
So you can see that sort of cliff is coming down the track.
Mm. Well, on that cheery note, thanks for joining me again, Shane.
You know I try to be cheery.
Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Cheers.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Yuji Shimada and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.